I think that obviously music is an integral part of any liturgy. And, you know, when we, St. Augustine said that when we sing, we pray twice. But I also think that it works on different levels. It works on the, you know, the level of the artistic and the creative, and it's nice to have music to be part of a liturgy, especially a big event. I think also it brings people together. It helps people to be familiar, particularly if you sing music that people know. You know, it breaks down the barriers and it helps to be, you know, in sense, to give them a sense of the secure and the familiar. But more importantly, I think also that it allows people to experience, if it's done well, I think it allows people to experience prayer, you know, using the language of music that sometimes they wouldn't be able to experience themselves at home. And when it's done well, it can bring people to a different level in their spiritual journey, I think.
And how would the Eucharistic Congress compare, and the music here at the Congress compare with other celebrations that you've sung at, or other celebrations where your music is used or performed?
That's a good question. Automatically, my mind would go straight to the Anaheim Religious Education Conference, which is on in Los Angeles. I've been doing that now for the past 12 years. And in one sense, I think it might be an unfair comparison because it's a different, you know, it's a different, what would I say, not that it's different, it's a church event, but it's maybe a different focus. It's really on education, you know, whereas this is really on the Eucharist and focus on the Eucharist. But there are a lot of things that are similar as well. I mean, for example, both places had a beautiful Taizé evening. Both places have Eucharistic adoration and places of reflection. I think where it's different in that, in the Los Angeles area, there is a lot of focus on contemporary creativity as regards contemporary composers. So a lot of the people like myself use it as a showcase for new music. Whereas here, I suppose you're trying to find, you know, a hymn sheet that's going to broadly express what everybody knows, you know, and there's probably an older age group here as well. But I think it's very important, you know, you've got people here from all over the country, and I think if they experience good liturgy, no matter who it's to or what it's about, if it's good liturgy, well then I think it's, you know, it will affect people's lives. Of that I've no doubt.
Actually, I was just going to ask you something along those lines regarding your choice of music, and how difficult is it to choose music for something like this? Because I've noticed, and myself, that the music tends to be quite conservative for the Congress. I mean, in Ireland there's a very vibrant, say, gospel choir scene, but for the liturgies during the Congress, the music tends to be reverting to something more conservative, more traditional, something that people will be very familiar with.
I know that, well, first of all, I wasn't involved in the choosing the music now, and I suppose I want to be fair to the people who were. I think that the problem is that there's such diversity as well, and because there are people coming from abroad, and you have so many different strands at work here, how do you pick music? And what they've done, I think, also is that during the testimonies, they've had all kinds of different kinds of music, you know, different music experience, from gospel choir to Irish music to, you know, to world music. I suppose, really, the Eucharistic Congress is of its nature a particular type of worship. And I suppose what you do is you try to, you know, incorporate into the worship the style of music that would suit that, you know. It's difficult. It's difficult to get it right. Like yesterday, I was looking after the liturgy, and, you know, there was a wide variety of, you know, contemporary composers and older music as well. And, you know, we had about 15,000 at it. And from where I was standing now, I think I could hear the people singing, but it's hard to, you know, I was so far back from the stand.
A lot of your music is about hope, it's about faith, it's about healing. Do you see any signs of those things here in the Congress?
That's a really good question. So far, if I was really honest, I'd say that it's like preaching to the converted. And that it's really what happens after the Congress. Now, the other thing I suppose that we have to take into consideration is that outside of here, all around the country, different events have been taking place. I know there are masses in housing estates. there are different gatherings, you know, going to historical places. And I think they're really important because in one sense, I suppose, they give the local church an opportunity to stop and reflect. There's been a lot in the media about the nostalgia of 1932. Now, I have absolutely no connection with 1932, you know, or anything like that. I'm more worried about 2032, you know, and where we're going to go from here. So I really think, you know, in answer to your question, I think it's after this week, the serious questions have got to be asked. Like, where are we going, you know, as a church? There's a reading in the New Testament from the Acts of the Apostles, and there's a really good question that's asked. And I think it's a letter of St. James, and said, what is the Spirit saying to the churches? And I think we really have to ask that, you know. Do I see signs of hope? There are good things done, you know, all over the country. There are small pockets of people working away. I think what we've got to do, though, we've got to harness that as an energy together. And I think as well the middle ground, the ordinary non-clerical Catholic voice has got to be heard. Because otherwise, I think the church will become part of history.